So the Faculty Ethics Screening Committee was established in June 2015 on request of the Research Ethics Committee, which forms part of the DRD. So the FESC is specifically responsible for the review and the initial approval of all low-risk ethics applications. So if we receive an application and we review it and we deem it to be either medium or high risk, then we immediately refer it to the REC, and they continue with the entire process. So the FESC members consist of four members. It's Prof. Petri Meyer, Prof. Jan Beer, not for much longer, Prof. Connie Skitter, and then myself as well. So the FESC has received a total of 497 ethics applications since July 2015. And what's interesting about this graph, or pie chart rather, is that 72% of these applications were low risk, 69 or 14% have been exempt, and then 6% have been referred to the REC as medium risk. But the one that we're really interested in is the retrospective applications, and I'm extremely happy to share with you that in 2015 we've received 6, and again the next year, and we've managed to whittle it down to just 1 in 2018, and 0 for the rest of the time. So from 2019 to last year, 0 retrospective applications, which is fantastic. And the reason for that is retrospective applications is a bit of a sad story. If one of your students start with their data collection in any way, any type of data collection, and then afterwards they apply for ethics clearance, neither the FESC or the REC is able to grant ethics clearance in that case. And that causes quite a few tears. So I'm very happy about that. The low-risk ethics applications that we've received per year, you can see here 2015, 44, was only 6 months, and then it shot up in 2016 with a gradual decline to our COVID years, 2020, not much was happening there. And then it went up again in 2022. Now, you'll see 85 applications for last year. Some of those applications were as a result of the requirements stipulated by the NRF. They wanted students to provide a letter of ethics clearance before they can apply for NRF funding. And the very good news for all of you, and for me and Clarissa, is that the NRF has now, in the meantime, changed their rules, and it is no longer required. So that's great news. Okay. So low-risk ethics applications received per department. We've got the stats from June 2019 until last year. So do you have any idea which department takes the lead in this case? No surprise. Industrial engineering by far, then civil engineering, E&E, M&M, and chemical. So, under which circumstances should a postgraduate student apply for ethics applications? For ethics clearance. If they have answered yes to any of the following 5 questions, then a postgraduate student will need to apply for ethics clearance. There is one exemption, which we are going to discuss in the next slide, but for now I can mention that the first one is absolutely the most important one, as Clarissa has mentioned as well, is if you are going to interact with or collect data from any individual in terms of interviews, surveys, focus groups, observations, or video recordings. So that covers a broad range. The next one is if you are going to obtain data from a company where the data is not in the public domain and it can be linked to individuals. Number 3 is if you are going to obtain data from a company or an outside organization where the data is not available in the public domain and it can not be linked to individuals. That's quite an important thing. The other thing is that you have been granted access to this data by an authorized representative. Number 4 and number 5, we don't get these applications very often. If you will have access to a database that is linked to identifiers, or you will receive codes and you'll have access to the codes that can link to personal identifiers. And then the last one is one that Clarissa also spoke about briefly, is that if you will access data that is available in the public domain, but that could be regarded as sensitive, such as social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So as I've mentioned, there's one exception, and this is good news. So if you look at question number 3, if your student has answered no to all the other questions except for question number 3, then you do not need to apply for ethics clearance. And we would like to encourage you to please request your students not to submit an application, because then it just makes the process a bit more complicated. So again, all the previous 5 questions, if you've answered no to all of them, except for question number 3. A non-disclosure agreement is not required unless the outside company initiates or requests it. So the onus is not on you or on your students to ensure that an NDA is in place. But if there is an NDA applicable, then we would like to request that you please contact the DRD just to make 100% sure that the correct processes are followed. So under which circumstances should an undergraduate student apply for ethics clearance? And the good news is that they do not. Even if they've answered yes to all of the previous 5 questions, they do not have to apply for ethics clearance, except for a couple of exemptions. And these are, if they are going to publish the research report at a later stage, or if it's going to be presented at a conference, or shared with anybody outside of Stellenbosch University, or if it is going to be shared with anybody that was not directly involved in the project. And then the one that's really applicable to our supervisors is point number 5. If supervisors or promoters or postgraduate students intend to use the undergraduate student's research as part of their current or their future research. This is a very important one, because often it happens that I receive an inquiry from one of our supervisors. They would like to build on the undergraduate student's research, but it's not possible because the student didn't get ethics clearance. So if there's, if you have plans to build on your undergraduate student's research, please do ensure that they obtain ethics clearance. On this one slide. The undergraduate students must still obtain permission from Stellenbosch University's Division for Information Governance if they are going to have any interviews, etc., with specifically Stellenbosch University staff, students, or alumni. And you can contact them there. So, what process is followed once an ethics application has been submitted to the FESC? The next slide is pretty busy, so I'm not going to go into it in too much detail, but this is basically the outline. We receive an application at the FESC. It takes a minimum of 3 weeks up until the day that we've received the application to when I'm able to send the student an email to say you can start with your data collection. Minimum 3 weeks, usually 4 weeks, sometimes 5 or 6 weeks, depending on how long it takes the student to do the changes, to actually make the changes requested. So I want to thank the supervisors for this section over here. This is fantastic. When I presented this in 2017, this was the case. I received an application and it went back and forth, 3, 4, 5 times normally. Now, it happens once, about 80% of the time, and every now and again, I have to send it back for a second time. So thank you to the supervisors for ensuring that that process is, it's really going smoothly now. So when the applicant submits, I receive it, review it, send the changes to the students, then he sends it back, and if all the changes have been made, it goes directly to one of the other FESC members who says, yes, it's perfect, it's low risk, medium risk, whatever. And then if I get the feedback from the other FESC members, I'm able to submit it to the REC for final review. At the same stage as when I submit it to the REC for final review, I also send an email to the student to let them know you can go ahead with your data collection, and there's smiles all around. So what is important to remember, though, is this is the case for low-risk applications. When it comes to medium-risk applications, the story is a little bit different. We review it. It takes a little bit of time for us to ensure that it is medium-risk. Usually I check with Clarissa first. And so what's important to note here is that the REC has made available an agenda with agenda closing dates. And I often receive inquiries from the supervisors to find out, do we have to adhere, when, how, what? If it's a low-risk application, you don't have to adhere to the REC agenda dates. If it's medium risk, kindly ensure that your student submits the application at least 3 weeks before the agenda closing date. We need a bit of time to look at it and to make sure it's medium risk. So then finally, on this slide, the applicant receives a letter of ethics clearance 60 days after it has been submitted to the REC, and that's the end of the process. Then I normally send the students a little email to say you can start celebrating, it's official. And our final slide for today is I would like to recommend to, you can either go look at it yourself or you can advise your students to do so, All of this information, I'm going to post the presentation on the website this afternoon. There's also a previous copy of 2017's presentation on the website. And you can click on our web and then go for current students and then click on the ethics application tab, and you will see an entire list of 21 FAQs. And I would like to ask you, if you've gone through these questions and you see that there are any questions that have not been covered, please send me an email so we can add it to the list, so we can have a really comprehensive list of FAQs. The one that's very valid in your case is, how do supervisors submit your student's application? And then the other one, as I've already mentioned, is number 10, the red meeting dates, and number 9, how do I know if it's classified as medium, low, or high risk, which Clarissa has done in detail. So I would like to thank you for your time, and I wish you a lovely weekend, and yes.
Okay, thank you very much.